The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Shukh Chamdal, Marketing Director Shay Watkins, and interim CFO David Forth of Cakebox, the UK's go-to provider of luxury yet affordable fresh cream cake. So welcome, gents.
Welcome.
Morning.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, well, big congrats on Monday's excellent full-year results. But before we sort of start digging into the details, Sue, I don't suppose you could just give investors a bird's-eye view of what you're seeing at the coalface in terms of the health of the consumer, specifically in light of sort of the cost of living crisis?
Oh, absolutely. Or just a little note on our results. You know, we've done what we've done every year for the last 3 or 4 years. We've delivered what we've said, and we've done really well despite what the year has brought. Even with the overhang of the pandemic, with the revenues up more than 50%, gross profit up 45%, and EBITDA up by almost 80%. And this cost of living is now starting to kick in. And I think it's just a bit too early to see how that's going to affect, because I'm sure people have pre-booked their holidays for August, which they've probably done last year. And then once they come back from the holidays and the school year starts, and that's when they'll make adjustments to their budgets. Because, of course, as you know, the utilities have gone up, and other or the rate of inflation is going up as well. And so I believe that, you know, the consumer behavior will start being affected in, say, October. But we were born in the midst of a recession. We've done massive growth there. We've gone through the pandemic, and we've come out with flying colors. And I believe that people will still adjust to the cost of living, but they won't compromise on that one birthday treat they have a year. And that's where they'll be spending with us.
Yeah, well, I'll just give you a bit of a positive anecdotal evidence there, Sue, because my daughter, who tasted a Cakebox cake 12 months ago, was so delighted with it, particularly with the family, that she's personally requested. She's got a work party in August, so we're already ordering one for a Cakebox. So you will get lots of returning customers because she's delighted. But that is only one person. Now, David, just in terms of the, you just give us just the top level highlights then for the financials. And obviously, Sukh's told us, you know, in terms of the really strong top line growth, but maybe elaborate on the margins and also on sort of like the cash generation.
Yeah, well. The most interesting news actually is that obviously our sales are up 50-odd% to 33 million. But actually, what's really interesting is our franchisee sales, which are up to 66 million, because obviously we make a margin on what we sell to them. But that 66 million means that we're now a 66 million pound brand. And that actually positions ourselves very, very well, because it means we're starting to get people noticing us. In terms of the split of the sales, we're now taking much more from our website sales, which is very good for us. That's up 41%. What people perhaps don't realize is that our website sales track straight through with a small commission taken to the shops, so they're not competing with each other. When the when we take an order on the web, it means that the store ends up fulfilling it, which is, you know. But also, we can take orders on the web from people who perhaps wouldn't walk past our stores, which is massive help in terms of our margin.
So just on that, David, so what you're saying is that you effectively, centrally, you've got the website, you take the order, and then you allocate the order to the nearest franchisee in that locality, and for the pros, just the processing of that order to cover some of the cost of the marketing through the website, you charge them a fee. Is that how it works?
That's exactly how it works, and so that is different from some companies' web sales, where you've got to deliver it, where you've got problems of returns, any of that stuff. Something I think it's 80% of our web sales are click and collect to the stores, which means that the customer goes there. he or she sees the store for the first time, gets excellent customer service, sees what other stuff we do. They've gone in for a cake, but they'll see our slices. So, I mean, all of that works very well for us. And we also have we've got a growing delivery platform, but it's that click and collect that's best. Why I'm focusing on this is that people actually often don't understand that the web sales are not cannibalizing the store sales. They're actually contributing a larger total sales. In terms of margin, because you asked about margin, margin's gone down from 49% to 48%. That's partly because we do make a margin on our what we call franchise package. That franchise package is where we set up a new store. Now, this year, we opened 31 stores. Last year, we opened 24, which means we've got more sales go through that channel, but obviously at a slightly lower margin.
And that's because you've helped them set up with the actual, the cost, the capital, and just the branding and whatever it is.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, when you see the stores, they're very nicely fitted out with our company colours, which Sook's wearing.
Yes.
We've got the fridges, we've got the cold store, we've got the preparation room.
Right, okay, gotcha.
We can fit that out in a very short time.
So it's lower margin, isn't it? That's what you're saying, than your product sales. And it was a pure sort of mix effect.
Yeah.
Good.
Obviously the benefit is we then end up with more stores selling more cakes, and that helps the whole business.
Yeah. Now, Che, just in terms of the actual marketing and sort of the online, I did see overall, sort of like as David mentioned, you know, that the franchisee sales is now 66%. It was like for like 12%, which frankly is just industry beating. Yes. And likewise with the online side, how do you see that sort of mix moving forward, and what's generating the huge amount of growth? Because frankly, you're not spending that much on your promotion anyway.
No, I think the story thus far for Cakebox Online has been an organic one, which is obviously one of the best stories you can build on. So everything that we do on our website, and we turn over quite a lot of sales and transactions on our current website on a daily basis. And the conversion rates we've got, the visits, the organic traffic that we've got is industry leading. What we haven't done is we haven't tapped into the digital and the paid side of advertising, where we're adding more customers, incremental sales. And also the second part of that is realizing the customer lifetime value, realizing the loyalty that is involved in the customer and how we can drive that and maximize, you know, returns for Cakebox. And the beauty is that the website is actually a brokerage for our franchisees. And when we tap into this paid element of advertising and we sharpen up, we have a lot of sharpening up to do as well. We're still sort of in the phase where we're transforming our digital capabilities. I think that's where it's really exciting for Cakebox, to be able to just capture this new audience that we haven't had in the past. Because what we currently have is a very, very loyal Heartland audience, but a lot of people who haven't heard of Cakebox, and that's a massive opportunity for us.
So just on that one, if you push the clock forward 3 to 4 years, etc. Now, I did see in the statement, and I guess Sook is sort of like, you know, giving you a bit of a target here, but to have a split between online and bricks and mortar between 50-50. Now, just doing the maths, if you've got sort of like, was it 15 mil or 13 mil? It was about 20% of the total online compared to what it is in total franchise. Now, if you're going to get that means your store must be sort of like round about, you know, sort of, well, that 50 odd or something like that, just over 50. So if you're going to get 50-50, then it means you've got to increase your online from, 13 to 15 to 50 over the... How are you going to do that?
I think it's a really good question. What we are untapped in is paid advertising. And I've been running some tests to look at what the possibility, what the opportunity is online for Cakebox. And the opportunity is huge. And early indications from my tests are for every £1 we spend, we get a £5 revenue back. So it's actually a really positive story there as well. So when we drive money in, what we're doing is generating new customers and retaining those customers. And just remember, what we're not doing is we're not a direct-to-consumer classic business model. it's almost the perfect storm, really, for online. We're taking the order online. That order is filled, and instead of being delivered by a third-party delivery, consumers are clicking and collecting. And I have no plans, and I see no reason to change that behavior to a delivery model, because consumers want to come to the shop. They want to come to pick their cake up. They want to just check it over because that's their celebration. We don't want to change that. So, a hard target to achieve, but I don't see any reason why we can't get there, because what we're doing is we're capturing new customers online cost effectively. You know, we don't have to rely on national TV campaigns. What we do is rely on advertising, intelligent, smart technology online to capture the consumer when they're searching for a cake. Mm. And if we present ourselves in the best way, give them a reason to buy and go to the store and click and collect, then happy days, and come back again when you have your next celebration.
Yeah.
So I see it as a big target, but something that is achievable, absolutely, because everyone is shopping online now. 80% of our consumers are placing orders on their mobile phones on our current website. And that's a sign of the shift in behavior. Fortunately, everyone is trying to scuffle to get online. Mm. Cakebox has done it organically, and we can build from that and really, really drive incremental customers and value into the brand.
Great. Well, you've got the right marketing director there, Sukh, that's for sure.
Hopefully.
No, just on the other side of the coin, you've got Shay, who's going to drive the online sales. And obviously, you've got, can you just sort of take us through sort of like your store rollout going forward? And likewise, in terms of sort of like managing the supply chain associated with it, and, you know, getting all the relevant products, et cetera, or infrastructure in place, which you may have already done.
That's right. Oh, we had a record year last year, 31 stores open. Oh, we're aiming for another 24 stores this year, and we'll hit that magic number of 200 stores later on in this year. And it may coincide with the AGM, which is in September. And it's not just about stores that I talk about now, it's about locations, because, as you know, we're in the supermarket kiosks. We've got shopping center kiosks. And there's so much opportunity out there, so much white space where we can fill in, or there's opportunities like train stations, and there's other avenues where we can, or the franchisee can set up a stall and get or a bolt-on sales to their stores. And we've got over 42 of our franchisees who are multi-site owners, and we've got quite a few who are ambitious to open even more stores. So currently the highest store owner is about 8, and we can see that going up to 10 to 12. And if you see that, everybody's got the ambitions to increase their ownership, and we get our brand awareness out there. We've just opened up in, of all places, St. Neots in Cambridgeshire, and that can't be further than our heartlands. And that shop has done really, really well. And that's given us so much encouragement to be able to go out in the white spaces that we're currently not in.
What about places like, I looked at your map, and you've got a lot of white space in Scotland and right. And Wales and Cornwall.
Yeah, well, we've got three in Scotland, in Wales now, and we've got another one coming up online soon. And we're going to do a presentation roadshow in Scotland itself. And David, who's got contacts in the Scottish government, he went to a conference there, and they're very keen to help us expand up there.
Mm. And what about your new products, Sue? Coming, I know you've any more, or you're just going to sort of like look at the recommendations and the suggestions from your customers, like your naked brands?
Oh, absolutely. And the feedback we're getting is they want some with a total flavor. For example, they want a lemon cake and a mango cake or a passion fruit cake.
Yeah, my wife will want a lemon cake. If you could get a lemon cake, wow, we're going to get some slices.
That's right. And David has realized that there's no such thing as having a diet when you're working for me, because we were doing cake tastings last week with all the flavors, and they are the best people to taste it with, but they are also the consumers. And all of the staff gave us very positive reviews on these flavored cakes. And so we'll be rolling these out later in the year. And for summer, we're hoping to roll out our strawberry cheesecake, our lime and lemon cheesecake, and our blueberry cheesecake. And so, or there's so much more ideas out there. We're looking at tall cakes, we're looking at pinato cakes. Also, there's a lot of development going on, and just watch this space.
Oh yeah, no, I will do. My wife certainly will. Now, David, just on rising costs. Obviously, we've had we've got the regrettable situation in Ukraine at the moment with corn prices going up. How is that all being managed through? Because obviously, you've got Shay who's going to has been increasing the sales already. You've got Suk who's got even bigger brands. We're bringing some new products in terms of managing the sort of costs and the margins. How's that sort of all working through?
Well, it will be our intention to preserve our margins and also, importantly, our franchisees' margins broadly.
Mm.
So far, at the start of the year, we've been quite fortunate because we've got a very sharp purchasing manager who's been working really well to keep the lid on the costs. Some of our most important costs are the things which go into the cake mix, obviously, which contains wheat and also some particular edible oils. All of those have gone up in price a lot. And our suppliers have bought forward quite a lot of these things. And importantly, they've given us fixed prices. Actually, they gave us fixed prices before the Russian invasion of Ukraine kicked off. So that protects us going forward part of the way. But obviously, as we move through the year, we will be raising prices judiciously to preserve those margins. I think what helps us a bit is that we are a sweet treat. We're an affordable treat. And as Suk said earlier on the call, people are not likely to give up on their birthdays. If people are short of money, then they're actually less likely to celebrate things out in restaurants and pubs and things, more likely to celebrate at home, where we've got really good and high quality solutions. So we think that there is opportunity to put the prices up, but we'd be putting that up in line with our input costs.
And so Shay, just on that one, on the prices, et cetera, how are you seeing that sort of following through in terms of the different products and the new products? How are you sort of positioning it? Would you, in terms of making it continue, don't lose the quality and the taste, the luxury side of it, but the affordability?
Well, I think there's a few things that's just inherent in the brand. The freshness, the quality, the non-compromised element of a Cakebox cake is never going to go away. Value engineering is out of the question for us. So interestingly, David mentioned that celebration is a market. Some people go to restaurants and have a cake in a restaurant as well. If you look downwards, where people typically you'd think they'd trade down, a supermarket cake. Not so long ago, a supermarket cake was £7-8 in a box, ambient, very easy. However, if you look at the price of those supermarket cakes now, you're talking £14 or £15. So what's happened is we've retained this sweet spot in the middle where we've got a really good value proposition for what is an exceptional product. So we need to hold that, retain that, because the gap either end is narrowing. So it's more expensive to buy a supermarket cake, and it's more expensive or less affordable to go to a restaurant. So I see that as a sweet spot for us as a brand and as a business. And the innovation we're bringing out, I look at it as commercial innovation. It's addressing a few key things without adding a lot of complexity to our business and our product. Our product is cake, celebration cake, and slices as a consequence of celebration cakes. And when you add things like flavor, designs, all of those sizes to the mix, it's sort of a perfect range really to meet consumers' needs. The most important thing for us is freshness. Egg-free is really important. It's a question whether every consumer needs to know that, because egg-free is for us a positive. We just don't want the consumer to think it could be a negative, because it's not compromised. The taste of our cake, as your daughter knows, is absolutely, you never know this free from anything. So we have the sweet spot in the middle, and I think that is something we have to retain without losing sight of what Cakebox was built on. Because a lot of businesses now will be scrambling to strip 10 pence out of their product, or or whatever. I think we've spoke at quite length. We are proud of our cakes, and we're not stripping anything out of our cakes.
So, yeah. No, I would reiterate that. I mean, but the reason why my daughter is going towards you guys is simply because she knows she's going to get a perfect quality, luxury, delicious cake for her, and importantly, her guests and family, rather than actually nipping down a local supermarket and getting a dodgy sponge.
Totally.
So definitely don't come. Now, Sue, just in terms of the sort of like investment, you've got David who's squirreled away just over £5 million of cash. Just top level, any investments in terms of, I don't know, new distribution centres, new stores, or was it really going to be dividends, or, you know, what are you looking to do?
We started this last August to strengthen our management team. I've brought in David, I've brought in Shay, and we've also got a new production manager, we've got a new customer service manager, we've just created a food safety team, and they are responsible for making that we're all legislation is adhered to, and we've strengthened that team for the future, because the growth requires a manpower, and by investing in the people and the team now, I can ensure that we've got the building blocks in place to take us further as well, and it's proving a really good because we've had our growing pains, and now we're becoming more professional. And from an owner-occupier or entrepreneurial, we're going to more of a focused PLC or type of company, and that would see us really good in the coming years.
Okay, and then just in terms of just again bigger picture, I know you've been very much a UK orientated and focused business, but I mean my extended family has got sort of a French element to it, and they would love a cake box place down the south of France, okay? And it was just, I mean, that was, you know, that's just one area. But obviously you don't want to build your own, but sub-franchise as in like, you know, the name to somebody else who's going to be able to operate it in territory. What's your sort of like long-term view overseas?
See, if Brexit hadn't come, we would have been in France by now because we could
have... Oh, good. Okay, right. Damn.
We could have serviced France from the UK. London to Paris is only 5 hours. London to Scotland is 6 hours. So we could have done that. But with all the white spaces in the UK, we've got, you know, our concentration is primarily in the UK. And once we can reach our goal of 250 in the next couple of years, and then we'll reassess that. But we believe that we can get, you know, locations, we can easily get 400 locations in the UK. And once we've done that, then we can start thinking of going overseas.
Right. Oh, okay. Okay. So sometime in the future. Now, David, just in terms of a bit nearer to home, the sort of the current trading then in terms of, I'm guessing we're in line with sort of estimates. I think it's Shore Capital. And how do you sort of see the first half, second half split sort of stuff?
Yeah, obviously... For part of last year, the first quarter of our results last year, the hospitality sector was shut, so there was less opportunity for people to celebrate away out of the home, which benefited us. I mean, paradoxically, we benefit from difficult times in that way, but it does mean that we are our comparatives, our like for likes, are down obviously on the previous year during the first quarter, and that's likely to continue for the next couple of months. Shore have, I think, correctly reflected that in their workings. So this is not going to be such a strong sales growth year. Would be my judgment. Also, of course, we're investing in people, but I think, well, certainly the business is trading at with our sales and our profitability is higher than it was for the same period last year, because we've got more stores, and also we've got quite a bit of efficiency within that group of stores. So all this to say that we're not that the cost of living and so on has certainly affected the business, but it hasn't affected the business anywhere near as much as what you read about in the papers from other consumer-facing businesses. Because at the end of it, we are a sweet treat, relatively inexpensive, and something that people do look forward to having.
Mm. Okay, good. In terms of news flow, David, we've got. I'm presuming we've got a half year trading update, end of September sort of time.
Yeah, the half year trading update will be at the end of September. We obviously are going out with our full report and accounts at the end of this month. And everything is on track to do that. And also, I hope people have noticed that we did get our results for last year out on time without difficulties.
Yeah, well done. Now, just finishing then, Sook. Just my wife is desperate for this yellow cake. Lemon cake. That'd be great. But just to sort of like, just to conclude, your vision for the sort of the company in 5 to 10 years. What do you see it sort of in terms of sort of, I don't know, size or breadth or overseas, or I mean, where would you love the business to get to? Nobody's going to hold you because it's two, but just a sort of that sort of vision of how you see it developing.
I believe that we're the number one retailer of affordable, good value, fresh cream celebration cake. We have now created a market where you can walk into any store, pick up a cake, get it personalized, and walk out with it. Oh, just not long ago, you know, you had to spend 3 days, you had to pre-order, and you didn't know what time you'd get it. But now we're giving you click and collect. You can order at the office, collect on your way home, or you can walk in, collect it there and then, or you can order there and then. And I believe that we are the number one, and we'll maintain that. And we want to become a national brand where there's a cake box in nearly every city. And so you can walk and get our delicious products at any time or without notice and get it personalized as well. And we continue to innovate, or we are bang on trend of what the consumer wants. And we are there for you when you need us. New Year's Eve now has become our biggest peak in the year. And who would ever celebrate a cake for the new year or a new year with a cake? But that's what they do now, because we give them the option of coming in and buying that cake there and then, personalized to how you want it. And we can hope to continue that vein.
Great. Well, we'll end on that one. The Rolls Royce of luxury yet affordable fresh cream cake sounds perfect.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, guys, and look forward to chatting going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye now.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.